May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in thy sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The message of the Epiphany season is the message of the coming and showing forth of God in Christ. Throughout this season, and in the lessons traditionally used, that showing forth is an unfolding process. I liken it to a flower opening up gradually until its full beauty is displayed. Heaven blazing into the head, as Yeats says in his poem Lapis Lazuli, perhaps making no obvious connection to the Epiphany, as one parishioner noted this week in our Bible study, yet a perfect description for the revelation of God's glory, heaven blazing into the head. In this season, aspects of the divine life and glory are revealed to us. It began with the shining forth of the grace and truth of God the Son in the Bethlehem manger. The three wise visitors who followed that star went back to tell those beyond the fold of Israel all that they had seen. God's glory, God's star in the infant king. The boy Jesus, at the age of 12, is found in the temple, astounding the learned teachers and elders with his listening and with his questions. St. Luke tells us that Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. Jesus is the power of God and the wisdom of God. The power he will show in his miracles. But as the late Father Krauss reminds us, wisdom must come first, because power without wisdom, action without knowledge, is a vain thing. Well, today we move on to contemplate the power of God in the first miracle at Cana of Galilee. But perhaps first we must pause and think for a moment about miracles. It's so easy for us to get caught up in the how and thereby miss the why. We've all probably wondered about the miracles, water into wine, instant physical healing of the lame and the blind, stilling of a storm, walking on the sea without getting wet. It all defies the normal order of things. That is certainly true to a point. But here's a question for us to think about. Why should God, the creator of all, be a prisoner in his own house? After all, one can actually build a house and live in it, but one need not be confined forever to its walls. You can come and go from the house and still reside in it. So whatever we think of miracles, part of our faith journey is at least to be open to the possibility that God can and act in ways that we may not understand and may even defy his own natural laws. And one thing we need to note as well, the miracles are not a display of magic. They are always signs, always symbolic acts, pointing to something, showing us something of the divine life. In this case, the wedding feast is a sign of the marriage of God with the human soul, a sign of God's power to transform all of creation. It is the sign that in union with Christ, our life is changed. God's power gives us new life in the Spirit. It was common in Jesus' day for a marriage to take place in the home, and that celebration could last several days. To be invited into someone else's home and to receive their hospitality is always a great honor. What better time than the coming together of two people and two families to extend such generosity? It's why the church is thought of as a home, where we open the doors of hospitality to others. We offer that as a sign of our union in Christ. Marriage is very much a symbol of human life. And human experience itself is a marriage of many things: joy and sorrow, pain and ecstasy, celebration and suffering. A wedding is very much a symbol of life. Lives are joined. Life and love are celebrated. Meetings take place, sometimes after many years. Relationships are recovered. Sometimes they begin. Families are bonded, new life anticipated. A wedding is an incredibly rich mixture. So this wedding happened at Cana, and Jesus and his disciples were invited in. How is he invited into our lives and into our homes, into our relationships and all that we do? Where is the power and the wisdom of God in the chaos and the uncertainty that characterizes so much of life? That brings us to the critical sentence: the wine gave out. In the Middle East, that would bring shame upon the host whose hospitality had not carried through as was expected. Jesus to the rescue. We can rationalize this story all we want, but that will never get us to the heart of it. John intends for us to look for the deeper meaning behind the story. He is less concerned than we might be with the provision of 180 gallons of wine on the closing of a week-long wedding party in which everyone had their fill. We may, in fact, want the recipe. That is a miracle in itself. C.S. Lewis, in his marvelous essay, Miracles, has this to say: God creates the vine and teaches it to draw up water by its roots, and with the aid of the sun, to turn that water into a juice which will ferment and take on certain qualities. Thus, every year, from Noah's time until ours, God turns water into wine. The real question is why. Why did Jesus choose to show forth his glory in this way right at the start of his ministry? And what does it mean? Maybe the answer, or at least part of it, is this: in Christ, what is incomplete becomes whole again. Into the imperfection we know as life, Christ comes and pours on us the perfection of a new way. The divine wisdom is shared with us in him, and that wisdom has a profound power, and that power is love. Very often, the wine does run out. Have you ever had a time when the wine of your life has run out? To be sure, many of us here, and indeed around the world, have felt just that this year. The wine of life can run out suddenly because of a death or deaths which affect us deeply. It can run out slowly out of the life, experiencing depression or advancing years or sickness or isolation of some kind. We can all fill in the rest. There is a sense, I think, in this gospel in which John is saying to us, when we are struggling with life, with uncertainty, with our resources, where it seems as though the wine is on short supply, here is the place where Jesus manifests his glory. Here is where he makes his epiphany and proves to be the master of every situation. The cup is not half empty. It is actually full and overflowing because of the everlasting love of God the Father. To those of us in every age, hard-pressed by the many wicked and hurtful situations and all the changing scenes of life, Jesus still says, "Come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will not just give you rest, I will refresh you." When we are empty and when we are fed up, there is drink for the thirsty and food for the hungry. There is one more interesting thing in this story. Well, there are many interesting things, but one more to point out for today. When the wine ran out, Jesus did not send folks off to the local LCBO. When the wine runs out, we use what is at hand. He said, "Fill the jars with water, plain old water." And I think what our Lord is saying to us in this story is take a second look at the ordinary, everyday things. Where and what is the water at the wedding of our lives, and how can it be turned into wine? How can we take who we are and what we have, and with God's help, see in them the means of grace and the hope of glory for a community and for a world that needs hope and needs the true glory that comes to us not from money or from glass towers or stuff, but from God alone. The very ordinary parts of life can be the source of what is more than ordinary. The water of life can be made into wine, even to the point of discovering, much to our surprise, that the new wine is even better than the old. Sometimes the new wine has been enriched by our experiences, our tears, our pain. The new wine of life can very well be much richer and more mature. This story, you see, talks not just about quantity, but quality. You have kept the good wine until now. This first sign Jesus gave his followers is a tremendous gift, the promise of the marriage between God and the soul, the sign of quality of life, as different from just getting by as water is from wine, and indeed the sign of quantity, more wine, more grace than any of us can ever ask for or imagine. The power of God and the wisdom of God. Take some today for your journey and be thankful. Amen.